Okay, tonight's shiur is being sponsored by Ari Natli, Lunishmas, his father, Reb Chaim Tzvi, Ben Reb Shmuel Zev. Tonight's shiur is also being sponsored by Henry and Mindy Arlinsky, Lila Nishmas, Mindy's mother, Mirabasi Sochar, and the Shamash of Aliyah from the Limitator of the Rabbim. So as we go back to Masechet Sukkah, so we find ourselves, I guess in a certain sense, you have to pace up one step closer to Sukkot than we were beforehand. So we go back to real Sukkot Sugya. We haven't learned too many Sukkot Sugyas in a while. We go back to real Sukkot Sugya, really to Lulav Sugya. And we're going to pick it up from Daf Mem Aleph from the days. So it's a new Sugya for us, at least right now. But it is drawing on some principles that we have spoken about a little bit in the past. So the Mishnah and the Gemara elaborated Daf Mem Aleph from the days about the halacha of Lachem as it relates to Dal Minin. But we know all the way back from the beginning, it's actually the name of the parak, Lulav HaGozel, that there are two reasons why one cannot be Yaitse the mitzvah Dal Minin with stolen goods, either because of the general din of mitzvah Babi Aveira, and because of the specific halacha of Lekachtem Lachem, Lachem Misha Lachem, that has to belong to you. So the Mishnah tells us the din explicitly, and here the Gemara raises the question, how do we know, where did this din come from? What's the source? You have to own the Luv and Esrog. So let's pick it up from the beginning of the Braisa on Daf Mem Aleph and Beis. Menon Emili, the Torah Rabban, Ukachtem, Shetei Lekicha B'yad Kalecha V'yechod. So first of all, from the word Lekachtem teaches me that each person has to take their own Luv and Esrog. I would have potentially thought that maybe it's a kind of a, like a Chavis HaTzibur. Maybe it's a kind of a mitzvah that one person does on behalf of everybody else. So kamash plo, no. Everybody has to take their own. Lochem isha lochem. The word lochem teaches me it has to belong to you. Laitis a shoves a gozel. This comes to exclude borrowed lulav. It comes to exclude a stolen lulav. Mikana b'chacham from Yerucham have told us, ein adam yaitzi dechavase b'yam defarishan shochan b'dolosa shochaveira. A person cannot fulfill their obligation on the first day of Yontif, and Chutz La'aretz, the second day is treated l'chumah like the first day as well. You cannot be yaitze with somebody else's lulav. Elam ken nitin lo b'matana. The only way you can be yaitze with somebody else's quote unquote lulav is if the lulav is not the somebody else's, because they gave it to you as a matana. So, what does that mean practically? So, in theory, you can end up with a situation where one person's really buying the Luv and Esrog, and he's going to enable everybody to be yotzei the mitzvah, provided that he gives it to them as a matana, as a gift. And then to support this idea, the Gemara quotes the following story. Ma'aseh Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elaz ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Shoboim Svina, they were once on a boat on Sukkot. I think we mentioned this in the past. It was a very, very strange thing that the Heiliger Tanoim, the greatest Tanoim of the time, were on a boat, was it a cruise, was it a chalamoy crew, what was going on? Maybe they were on a boat, what are they doing on a boat in Sukkot time? So if I'm not mistaken, I think some of the historians tell us that apparently one of the Roman emperors was appointed as emperor right around Sukkot time. And the great Tanoim realized that they better get themselves on a delegation to Rome right away in order to make a good impression on the emperor. In those days, if you didn't make a good impression on the emperor, that could spell life and death for the Jewish people. So the Heiliger Tanoim left the families, left Eretz Yisrael, and went in a boat. So one of the serious shahs that they had was the issue of Dal Minim, that the Braisa concludes that nobody had a lulav. They didn't have a chance to get a lulav in Esrog. El Rabbi Gamliel Bavad, Rabbi Gamliel was the only one who had a lulav in Esrog. Shalocha the El of Zuz, he had bought this lulav in Esrog at an exorbitant price, for 1,000 zuzim. Now, in case you want to get a reference point, how much 1,000 zuzis, I guess we know what a kedig is for. The zavin apa bitrei zuzim. You can buy a goat for two zuzim. So it's the price of 500 goats. To put it into a little bit more practical sense, so we know that the shiur of a ksuba for a woman who's getting married for the first time, it was 200 zuz. My eye, what does that number correspond to? So the Mishnah tells us to Maseches Peah, that if a person has 200 zuz to their name, they should not be collecting tzedakah. Should not be walking the fields collecting lekach shechopeah. Shouldn't be getting tzedakah. Should be getting mice running. They're able to support themselves. Because the Gemara tells us that an average person, again, in the days of Chazal, was able to support themselves for a year's time on 200 zuz. So now it makes a little bit of sense. Now we understand why the Shiva Ksuba is 200 zuz. And you're giving the husband dies, the husband divorces, he's not going to support her forever. He has to give her at least something to hold her over for a year's time. So 200 zuz is approximately the amount of money to support a person for a year. So 1,000 zuz is five times that amount. That's a tremendous amount of money. I know you want to make, I don't know what the price of the standard of living in America is today, but do the math yourself. You're talking about quite a hefty price for living Esser. So the only one who was able to afford such living Esser was Rabbi Gamliel. It makes sense. Rabbi Gamliel was very wealthy. He was from the family of the Nisim. So Rabbi Akiva wasn't too rich. The Gemara says Rabbi Yeshua was very poor. Well, it's been a Zayatak. The Gemara says he also was well off. But whatever it was, other Rabbi Gamliel somehow was able to get his hands on this living Esser.
Didn't Rabbi Akiva get money from his father-in-law after that? A lot?
Yeah, later. I don't know when to start, but again, I can't tell you the portfolios of the Tarayim. That much I can't fill you in. There's they say about I think it may have been the Tziv who made this comment that he said that we don't care about what Abai ate for breakfast. We care what Abai said. So we're not sure the way that matters to us how wealthy any given Tana was, except for this story support, because Rabbi Gamliel was able to afford such an exorbitant price where nobody else apparently was. So now all the other Tanaim felt bad. They didn't have a dollar meeting that would be theirs. So no problem. Rabbi Gamliel helped them all out. So what did he do? So Rabbi Gamliel, but Rabbi Gamliel was his little Nesrik, he had paid for it. So he was Yetzir the first. And Nasla Rabbi Yeshua ben Matana. Then he gave it to Rabbi Yeshua as a gift. Not Lubin Rabbi Yeshua, the Yetzir. Then Rabbi Yeshua used it. And Nasla Rabbi Loz ben Azariah ben Matana. Not Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, the Yetzir. And Nasla Matana Rabbi Kiva. So they went in order. Not Rabbi Kiva, Yetzir, Nasla Rabbi Gamliel. Then they returned it back to Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says, so what's the point of this whole wild story? It's coming to teach us even though the gift wasn't given in a sense forever, the gift was given on the condition it's going to be returned, because each time is giving it on the condition the next one's going to get it, and eventually when Leo wanted it back, he spent so much money, he wanted it for the rest of the Yantav also, that's also called the Matana, because Matana Manas Lahach also constitutes the Matana, and therefore it's called Lachem. And the Gemara says this is borne out by a statement of Rava made Rava lived hundreds of years after the Tanoim. Ki hadi amar Rava, elach ma'esek zav anashat chzireli not leviyatzah b'chzir yatzah zula yatzah. The Rava says, I give you an esrog on the condition you're going to return it to me. If in fact you fulfill the condition, return it to me, then you'd say, if not, and you didn't fulfill the condition, then the matana wasn't binding, wasn't the valid, then you're not going to be yotze. So the Gemara tells us there are really two different parts of the story that are important. One is the pure halachic part of the story, that a matana manas lahachzir is acceptable to be yaitzei, to be called lachem. And the other is, I guess, the human interest side of the story, that Rabbi Gamliel spent an awful lot of money on this living eser. So Gemara says, lam le'le me'emesh lachel b'zuz, why do I care how much money he spent on it? So Gemara says, v'diach l'kav mitzvah chaviv v'soleyen, to teach you just how much money Tanoim spent on something. Tanoim spent so much money, Rabbi Gamliel had so much money, he was willing to lay out in order to be yaitzei the mitzvah of Talmud. So there are two parts of the story, two parts of the sugya for us. There's the larger part of the sugya, probably a little bit more the lumdisha side of the sugya, that what exactly is this matana manas lahachzir, a very strange concept in the Imamunis, how it works, and what are the parameters of it, and how it impacts in other areas of halacha. That's one, that's the main thrust of the sugya. And then there's a little bit of the smaller end of the sugya, is that what Rabbi Gamliel did, was he supposed to do that? Was he obligated to do that? Was it permissible to do that? Spend such an exorbitant amount of money on mitzvahs, is that a goal? Is that something we should be striving for, to spend every last penny we have almost on shmiras and mitzvahs? That's the other half of the story. So we're going to learn the smaller part of the sugya first. So I don't know whether we'll finish the smaller part today. Maybe we'll get a chance to start the larger part today also. But let's see if we can tackle the smaller part of the sugya first. This notion of spending quite a significant amount of money on mitzvahs. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Kama, that a person is not obligated to spend all his money in any given mitzvah. That's the given, that's the starting point of the entire sugya, the sugya of Tess Bava Kama. But the Gemara is very, very clear that it is not necessary to spend every last penny you have on doing mitzvahs. How much should you spend? So the Gemara never really says how much. The Gemara, not in Babakama, not in Sukkah, not even in Ksubas, the Sukkah we're about to go in a minute, it doesn't say exactly how much you should spend the mitzvahs. What it does say is, Hamavazbez b'tzedokah, ayavazbez yaisi mechaymish. If a person wants to give a lot of tzedokah, that's beautiful and wonderful, but he shouldn't give more than a fifth. Why should he not give more than a fifth? Shema ya'aliv yitztach lebriyas. Because we're afraid he himself is going to get poor. If he gives up so much money, he himself won't be able to support himself. And he himself, Guf, is going to have to select to go and collect tzedakah. So therefore, when it comes to the mitzvah tzedakah, you shouldn't spend more than a fifth of your resources. So the Gemara never talks about how much money you should spend on tefillin, on esrog, and matzah, and shofar, etc. But the Rishonim assume that the shir is the same. And that's not appropriate. It's wrong. You're not allowed to spend so much money. And the question becomes, well, why is that so exactly? What is that all about? Why should it be such a cap? Why should there be such a limit? So you start Libri, it's good. So you'll get poor. So hopefully someone will support you. So Shami Yanavi Tzach Libri is big deal. Shami Yanavi Tzach Libri is. So why is there even such a cap on mitzvahs monetarily in the first place? The Torah says do a mitzvah. So you got to do the mitzvah. Well, what kind of excuse is that? Shami Yanavi Tzach Libri is. So there are some Achareinim who suggest that it's actually part of a fascinating halacha that we spoke about many, many times in the past. It actually has nothing to do with money. It has to do with something even more important than money. Well, we hope in most people's eyes it's more important than money. The Mishnah says in the end of Masechet Brachos that why does the Torah say, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha b'chol yodecha? Why does the Torah say to love HaKadosh Baruch with all your soul? Does you have to even be Maseh Nefesh? Sometimes it's mitzvah, Maseh Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also you have to give up your money b'chol yodecha. So why does the Torah say both? If you have to give up even your life sometimes, kavacham your money, so the Mishnah says, because there are some people who find their life to be more important than the money. That's the right approach. And there are some people whose money is more important than their life. So the Mishnah is coming to tell you, no matter what your priority in life is, whether rightfully or wrongfully, make sure that you give it up for Avos Hashem. So we find in an area of halacha of nefashos, of how much mesivas nefesh a person is supposed to have, literally mesivas nefesh, mesivas haguf for mitzvahs, so we find there's a principle that appears in the end of Masechet Yuma about the sugya of pikuach nefesh. Everybody knows that Mishnah is explicitly in Masechet Shabbos, Masechet Yuma, sugya shleimus and shas called pikuach nefesh. It's a milsa pshita admoi. Whenever there's any degree of a suffix, whatever the halacha defines as being a suffix, so suffix pikuach nefesh is doicha, pretty much called Torah Kula, with the exception of Avodah Zarah Gilurais and Shrichas Damim. So the Mishnah records the din of pikuach nefesh, but the Mishnah kedarka b'kodesh doesn't say what the mocher is. How do Chazal know there's such a din called pikuach nefesh? It has multiple sources for it. So one, probably the most famous one, is v'chay b'hem v'lo shiyomus b'hem. But the Gemara at the end of Yuma actually quotes another one as well, another equally valid source possibly for pikuach nefesh. That's the famous pasuk v'shamru b'nei Yisrael shabbos l'shin rabim v'shamru chalel shabbos achas kedei sheyishpo shabbosos harbin, that one should be mechal Shabbos once, drive to the hospital once, so that the patient will hopefully survive and spend the next 30 years keeping Shabbos. The person is going to be a stickler for each Shabbos and say, no, I'm not going to be mechal Shabbos. So you can end up losing Shmir Shabbos in the long run. I always give the marshal, I say, Shmir Samitzvah, Savitis Hashem, is a marathon. So when you run the marathon, so you don't run with all your koichas and everything the first 3 miles, then you're going to collapse, you're going to plot, you won't make it to the finishing line. So if Shmir Samitzis would have been just a 90-yard dash or something, so for a 90-yard dash, you get every last ounce of koichas, when you get to the end of the finish line, see it collapse, and it's over. You worry about the next year's race. But that's not what Torah is. Torah Mitzvahs is a lifetime. So you have to make investments in your lifetime. So you have to conserve some of your strength, you have to conserve some of your energy. So Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kadei Shishmur Shabbos Achas. It's Kedai in Halacha, Chalel Shabbos once in a while, in order to save Shmir Shabbos down the line. That's clear from the Gemara. So some of the Achranim write that this idea is not just an idea that's limited only to Shmir Shabbos, to Mikvah Nefesh. It's a mindset in terms of Shmir Samitzvahs. It's the way we live our lives in terms of Avodas Hashem. Whenever you make a decision in Avodas Hashem in terms of Shmir Samitzvahs, you have to look towards the long-term goal. Don't get so focused on the short-term goal. You have to look at the long-term goal. So the long-term goal, because Baruch Hu wants us to do as many mitzvahs as say the 248 as we can possibly do. So if a person is going to spend every last penny on buying one kezayis of shmur matzah, he'll spend $100,000 on buying a piece of matzah, that's wonderful. The yotzei matzah, that's great. but he won't be able to buy a pair of tefillin, he won't be able to buy a pair of tzitzis, and he won't be able to travel somewhere for a shoshana to get a shofar, and he won't be able to do all the mitzvahs as they should be Torah. So he's going to have one mitzvah matzah, that's great, but it's going to be offset by all the bittul mitzvahs that he won't be able to perform. So therefore, it's kedai to be mevater on the mitzvah matzah, save up your resources, and that way you'll be able to chaper around 20 more mitzvahs instead of one mitzvah. That's what Samach Ranim writes. That's basically what this din is based on. So again, the Gemara never says what the rationale is for why you shouldn't spend money on mitzvah. The Gemara just says you're going to become poor. So the Achranim, yes, so you'll become poor. So you'll become poor. So as you become poor. So the answer is when you're becoming poor, that's goof for going to interfere with your shmiras and mitzvah. So the long-term strategy, the long-term investment makes sense to hold back a little bit. Don't waste all that extra money. Save it for a rainy day, for more opportunities to do mitzvahs. So that's the case, that you're not supposed to spend an exorbitant amount of money on mitzvahs. Maybe that, and then we can understand that story a little bit better. Why it was only Rabbi Gamliel who spent such an amount of money. Rabbi Gamliel was very, very wealthy. Apparently, 1,000 zuz wasn't a fifth of his resources. Maybe it was more than a fifth of Rabbi Akiva's resources. Maybe it was more than Rabbi Shua's resources. That's what the other Tanoim Dafka didn't spend that amount of money. Rabbi Gamliel was within his very, very wealthy, so he's able to spend $100,000 on a Lubin Esrog, because he has $20 million in his bank account. Whereas somebody who doesn't have that kind of money, it would be inappropriate for him to spend such an exorbitant amount of money. So a cool part of everyone agrees that the baseline halacha is that one is not supposed to spend the amount of money that could potentially throw you over the edge and make you become poor yourself and have to collect alap sahim. Everyone agrees to the basic din, whether this is the rationale or not is subject to debate, but this is the din that everyone agrees to. However, even within the parameters of this din, of not spending too much money on any given mitzvah, say, there seems to be some statements of Chazal that contradict this halacha. There seem to be situations that Chazal speak about where it is expected of the person to spend every last penny that he has, even if it's going to end up eventually putting him into a situation where he won't be able to do other mitzvahs. He won't have the resources to fulfill other mitzvahs. So how, on the one hand, do we have this halacha, that which is borne out by these Tanoim? These Tanoim are practicing that halacha. The other Tanoim didn't spend this crazy amount of money in the Lubin Esrog. That's what the Gemara Ksuba says, don't spend. You're not allowed to spend an exorbitant amount of money in tzedakah, and the Rishonim extend that to mitzvahs. So this seems to be contradicted by a sugya that appears in the Maseches Kedushin. Those who have the Gemara's Kedushin, let's take a look at the sugya together in the Maseches Kedushin. Appears on Daf Chof Tes, begins on Chof Tes of the Aleph, then it goes on to Chof Tes of the Beis. It's 2 lines at the bottom of Chof Tes of the Aleph in Maseches Kedushin. Tan Rabbanan, beginning of the line. Who lift ice? Uvno lift ice. Who can't live now? If you die, maybe I kite mine. Interesting shayla. A person has 2 mitzvahs of pidyon haben in front of him. How did he pull off 2 mitzvahs of pidyon haben? Well, his wife just had a bechor. And when his wife had a bechor, so he starts to talk about pidyon haben. And all of a sudden he realizes, you know what? Wait a second. I never had a pidyon haben. Ich bin a bechor. I was never nifta. So we used to have this. You have this in the shiva all the time. Where boys come sometimes, balei tshuva, they don't know, never heard of the mitzvah pidyon haben. Starts to come to yeshiva, and all of a sudden they hear about this mitzvah. The kid at the age of 19 realizes, wait a second, I'm a firstborn. I'm not a kohen, not a levi. I never had a pidyon haben. So we've been misada pidyon haben in yeshiva, you know, for the teenagers, for the young men. So here a similar thing happened. If Reuven's about to perform pidyon haben on his own son, he realizes, Gavalt, he never had his own pidyon haben. So who comes first? Does he do his pidyon haben first, or does he do the son's pidyon haben first? So it's a fascinating machlok, Ruchus pidyon haben. It probably touches to some degree on what the nature of the chiv of the father pidyon haben is. Is it an independent chiv, part of his son's chiv? Again, we're going to leave that part of the sugya out right now. What we're going to focus on is the next line of the Gemara, the last time, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Kol Moedim, at the top of the Tesla days, Kol Eicha Deleika Elachamesh Sloim, Hu Karim Lubnoi. If all he has to his name is 5 shkolim, that's all. He doesn't have a penny more than 5 shkolim. Sloim and shkolim are the same thing. They used it to change. They're not quite the same currency, but in Lashon HaTorah, they use it to change. So Kol Eicha Deleika Elachamesh Sloim, Hu Karim Lubnoi. Everybody agrees that if the guy only has 5 shkolim in his pocket, his mitzvah comes first, my timer. Mitzvah the gufa yadifa. The mitzvah that relates to his body is more important than the mitzvah that relates to the son's body. So What the machlokes that Tanoim was a different case for the Gamra. But if he only has five shkolim, kuliyam lepligi, he spends the money on himself. So comes the Mishnah Berurah, Hinuchas Lulav. He says, wait a second. The Ramah Hinuchas Lulav quotes the din. You shouldn't spend an exorbitant amount of money in any given mitzvah. We don't want you to end up getting poor. Shemi Adam Yitzhak Lebriya. He's, that's the Mishnah Berurah. What's going on here? The guy's got five shkolim to his name. That's his entire checkbook. Says five shekel. And what are we telling him to do? Take the five shekel and go do Pidgin Amen on yourself. And he won't be able to do it on his own. Is it? He doesn't. What's he going to do tomorrow morning when he has to buy a Piyatun? What's he going to do every Pesach to buy matzah? What's he going to do when he comes time to buy lulav to build the sukkah? We just wiped out his last pennies to spend the money on Pidgin Amen. Why do we do that? Why do we apply the rule of Vaz? Don't spend so much money on mitzvahs before you have his five shekels. See a puddle of the gamrin. That's a cash for the Mishnah. The Mishnah Berurah offers two suggestions. One he suggests and then ultimately rejects. Then one he falls back on. Mishnah Berurah says it's interesting. The Loshon Chazal. Ha-mevazbez ha-yevazbez yoyisim yichemish. What does bizbuz mean? What does levazvez mean in English? It's a bizbuz.
Waste.
Waste. Loshon of waste. Bizbuz, levazvez, is not a very positive term. Doesn't conjure up somebody to make a very, very, smart investment. So isn't it a strange lotion from a vazvez, a yevazvez, yaisim yechemish? Chazal should have said, hamishalim lo yishalim yaisim yechemish. Haraitza liknais lo
yaisim
yechemish. So I'm not the term, a yevazvez. It's almost like a derogatory term, but I'm doing a mitzvah, but a bizbuz. The Mishmur suggests that maybe what Chazal were alluding to is as follows, that Mavazvez is the Lashon waste, because when there's a within reason amount of money that an object is worth, you don't say I wasted money on something. I go to the store, I want to buy something, it's a couple of pennies more, a couple of pennies less, it's within a range. Okay, so maybe it's a little bit over, it was overpriced. You wouldn't say you wasted money. Imagine if I sent my kid and I said, listen, go buy yourself a slice of pizza. I don't even know what a slice of pizza goes for these days. Go buy yourself a slice of pizza. And he comes back and he says, he spent $50 on a slice of pizza. I imagine that's with all the toppings, it's still a little too much. Spent $50 on one slice of pizza. You know what I would say? You don't know the value of money. How do you waste your money like that? If, let's say, the going slice is $250 and you pay $275, what'd you waste? I said, okay, yeah. You got rolled a little bit, you overpaid a little bit. Maybe you can take it to the turf. Oh, no. But the Lashon Bizbuz is not as the connotation, but it's a crazy price, not commensurate with what the item is really worth. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the din of mevazbez ha-yevazbez yeis mechemish perhaps means, what's the real price of an esrog? That's a very loaded question. What should be the real price of an esrog? What should be the real price of shmur matzah? I don't want to comment now. What's the going market price? I mean, now shmur matzah is probably pretty cheap, but 3 weeks ago it was fairly expensive. A person spends 1,000 zuz on an esrog. It's a waste. It's a bizbuz. It's a waste. So that's what Chazal say. When there's a given price for a mitzvah, the normal price of an esrog should be $100, and you spend $10,000 on it, you wasted your money. Rabbi Gamliel had a lot of money. He was able to, quote unquote, waste his money. That was okay. It wasn't Yosef B'chaymish. But for a regular person, a regular Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua, people who didn't have such a check accounts like Rabbi Gamliel, didn't have the stocks of Rabbi Gamliel. So for a regular guy to spend, regular Tana, a regular lower income Tana to spend so much money, zechdach bizbuz.
Rabbi, I could understand if the lashon of bizbuz was used for a mitzvah like esrog or matzah or whatever, but it's being brought down in the context of giving tzedakah, of helping somebody else out. So even in that context, you would still use a lashon of bizbuz. So
yeah, you're right. Nuchinami, it's also conjuring up that image that I'm spending more than reality would dictate that I spend. But imagine the following. Imagine I just made a pidyon ben for my son. Just made a beautiful pidyon ben. And I'm calling up my friend from out of town and saying, it was a beautiful, beautiful pidyon ben. Ah, it's gevaldik, merdik. And the friend says to me, you know, I know things are a little tight financially, so how much money did you spend on the pidyon ben? I say, well, I spent $10,000 on the party. A little long, but I said, $10,000. I invited, I don't know, 100 people. Goes, ah, pidyon. So I could hear somebody saying, you know, that's kind of a waste of money. You don't have to spend $10,000 on a pidyon. I don't know how much your pidyon ben's going for. No. You don't have to spend $10,000. You don't have to spend $100,000 on a pidyon ben. That you kind of, you threw out some money. You wasted your money. What if I'd say to my friend, when he asked me, how much did the pidyon ben cost me? Well, let me give you a tally up. It cost me 5 shekel to do the mitzvah pidyon ben. The response would be, what a waste of money. What a waste of money. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to give 5 shekel. That is the that's the going price of pidyon ben. Whether you live in Bavel, whether you live in Eretz Yisrael, whether you live in America, you live in Eretz Yisrael, you live on the moon, that is the going price. So that's not a bizbuz of money. You can't say, I'll zen them on the vazbizay, vazbizay. The Russian bizbuz doesn't make any sense. So it's an interesting suggestion that the Mishnah Berurah gives, but it doesn't get to the heart and soul of the sugya. Because if the reason why Chazal said this quote-unquote phrase of vazbizay, vazbizay, is because they want to prevent the person, protected from falling into poverty. Even though he wasn't rolled and he didn't waste, and there was no baltashkas, there was no bizbuz here. But at the end of the day, he spent a lot of money, which he doesn't have. And tomorrow morning, he won't be able to buy tefillin, won't be able to tzitzit, won't be able to buy shofar, a lulav, matzah, sugar, he'll lose out all the other mitzvahs. So a better strategy of life would have been to play the marathon rather than spending 5 shekel on pidyon ben, save a few pennies for everything along the way. So the Bishabu's idea is interesting. It fits almost into the lashon, but it's hard to understand how it addresses the Talmud. And the Bishabu suggests another. The Bishabu suggests that maybe I'm a vazbizay, is referring to a person who doesn't have a steady income. We're talking about a person who has a set, definite amount, you know, definitive amount of money, and he's got $1,000 in the bank. He's retired already. He's not making any more money. His pension is not getting a pension. He's not getting, so nothing else is coming in. He's got, this is the amount of money he has and maybe yes, I'm sure. He's going to start to be careless with his money and start, well, I'll spend $1,000 on a piece of matzah and $1,000 on an esrog, and I'll spend $10,000 on a pair of tefillin. Before he knows it, he won't have a penny left to his name, and all the other mitzvahs that are going to come his way for the next 20 years, he's going to have to forego because he's going to be on collecting tzedakah. He won't have enough money to be yaitzeh mitzvahs. That's really a chaval. What if you have a fellow who he has $1,000 and a mitzvah comes his way that's going to cost him $1,000? He only has $1,000 in a savings account, but he has a job. He has work tomorrow. So whatever money he'll make tomorrow, so allocate his funds appropriately, that he'll be able to support himself, be able to perform mitzvahs. Hamavazli, Vazli, Yesbechemish is when there's a finite sum, this is it. Ad kanvila yais. This is all you have in the world right now. Fidechateva. So don't waste it all on one. See, I also was guilty of saying the word waste. But don't spend it all on the one mitzvah because you won't have other mitzvahs. But if it's a revolving door, you have more money coming in. So more money come in, more expenses, more money, more expenses. You budget appropriately. You'll be able to cut down on some of your luxuries and you'll take a little cheaper vacation, cut down your car a little bit. You'll be able to perform more mitzvahs and shalom Israel. So maybe the whole sugya of vazli vazli yes bechemish doesn't apply in those circumstances. That would be a whole new insight, this entire sugya. So again, these different ideas Mishnah Berurah puts forward to try to explain why on the one hand we find there is a din of Amvaz Ivaz, on the other hand, we have a Gemara Kedusha that seems to undermine this Gemara. Yeah.
Maybe when it says, because it uses the Lashon of Amav Bezbez, Yoter Mehomesh, of the price itself, let's say the mitzvah usually will cost $100, he's allowed to be mebazbez 120. That will be 100 homesh.
So you're referring to that's another sugya that also appears in Baba Kama. That's about adding on to mitzvahs according to the value of the mitzvah itself.
Maybe that's what the Gemara means.
The Gemara's not talking about that. The Gemara's talking about my resources. It's clear from the
Gemara. No, I'm saying maybe that's another way of look of the word mebazbez. You tell me homesh. Lo, you tell me homesh. So if we call it bizbuz, it should not be more than homesh than actual price that should there be.
Okay, maybe again, that may be true. The Gemara does discuss that paslu, but the phrase in the Gemara is really talking about resources. It's clear from the Gemara. It's talking about based on the money that you have. So, I call upon him, the din stands, and the story of Gamliel stands, and the fact that the other time didn't spend the money. Everything's having come over Rishalim. Rishalim are quick to point out that this sugya only applies to mitzvah zesi. It doesn't apply to lavim. When it comes to lavim, no pun intended, but the buck stops here. It comes to lavim, if you have to lose all your money not to violate Chol Shabbos, not to violate Treifas, so be it. That's what the poskim write, that for a person to lose his job takes on like the halachic status. It's like almost like losing all his money. I'm losing a fifth of his money. Guy loses his job. He's not going to have income. He's going to be very quickly. He's going to be showing you anavi tzach lebrios. So the poskim say that a person is not mechuyav to lose his job for mitzvah sasei, but he is mechuyav to lose his job for mitzvah lo sasei. So if a person says to you, either you work on Shabbos or we're going to fire you, he's braver. A person would have to be fired rather than violated a law in the Torah, because that sugya of avazli avazli was only said by mitzvah sasei. It wasn't said by law. Anyway, so this was the shorter part of the sugya. We finished it in half the time I thought we would. But let's move on now to the longer, more detailed in the mamonis angle. So the Gemara told us the basic aloha is that the alamim have to be lochem. That's a given. And if somebody gives it to you as a matana, so it's hard to be more lochem than that. The chiddush the Gemara was is that the matana can be done in a very, very bizarre way. Reuven doesn't give it to Shimon with no strings attached. He gives it to him with a huge string attached. I'm giving you this lulav on the condition you return to me. So Kozma, that it's still sitting in Shimon's house. So Shimon's the rightful owner of this object, provided that he fulfills the condition. If he doesn't fulfill the condition, then he loy mil salim afra, turns it retroactively. If I do a chalois, if I try to change ownership, I try to create a kedushin gerushin, something a la Tanai, and the Tanai was not fulfilled, then the Tanai's bottles, and the whole mice is bottle also. So obviously, the matana must occur. He has to give it, the recipient must give it back to me, in order to be, say, chak, because you said it tonight, then only then the matana was chal and mefreya. But the ma'isa, the basic halach is that matana was is good. So although the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah says it just simply straight out without any hesitation, it's far from simple with the sugya appears in Maseches condition. Let's take a look. With the Iker sugya, matana was achzer, with the Gemara in Kedusha is actually referencing to, is the Kedusha, the Gemara in Kedusha that Vav Amadeh. Let's pick it up from the Vav Amadeh. It's about two-thirds of the way down. Omar Rava. So the Gemara begins to tackle the issue of Batonah Masahachzir, not just relating to Lulav, but the last of the topics. It talks about Kol Torah Kula. There are many, many other areas of Halacha where a Matonah is necessary to be effective. In order for Halacha X, Y, and Z to be fulfilled, I have to give you a Matonah. Is Matonah Masahachzir satisfy the conditions of Matonah now? Amar Rava, two long, two thirds of the way down, but the two dots. Amar Rava, you didn't learn. Amar Rava, Hilach Mona Menashlech Zireuli. I give you a mona, give you a coin, and give you X amount of money on the condition that you return it to me. So I'm giving you $100 on the condition you're going to return it to me. Concerning what halach is this relevant? B'mechel loykana. If I want to use this kind of a giving of the money as a method of kidding kesef for a field, it's not going to work. One of the three ways to buy a field, kesef shtar chazoch, mishnah kedushin, later on the first parak. If I want to buy real estate from you, I can either give you money. I don't have to give you the entire value of the field. I can give you even a very, very small amount, more than a pruta. That's also okay. Kesef is one way to buy a field. Shtar, the document. It's another chazoch, then proving the quality of the field is another way. So vis-a-vis the din of kidding kesef, it is imperative that if I want to buy the land, I have to give you the kesef. That's the matana. I give you the kesef and you give me the land. So what if I give you the kesef in a very modern way, very strange way? I say, I'm giving you this $100 bill. This should be the kesef kinyan, but I want it back. So says Rava Loikon. That's it. Rava Gedinius. So Isha Enim Kudashis. But if I'm standing under the chuppah and I give the kesef kedushin, or the shavah kesef, I give the ring to the woman, I say to her, I'm giving this ring on the condition you return it to me. So the Rava says, Ein Mekudesh, that's not called Kedushin. It's not a great surprise. It was actually the dinim of Kinyan Kesef by Kedushin derived from the Gzeri Shava Kicha, Kicha Bistei Ephraim. The same Kinyan Kesef that you used to buy a field, you used to buy to a Kaddish and Isha. So Rava puts the two together, lumps the two together and says that a Matona Sakesef, the Deceit of Sakesef of Mechiras, will not work if it's Abanas Tahachsir, nor will it work for Kedushin if it's Abanas Tahachsir. And similarly, Rava continues, but Pidyon HaBen ain't been opodli. When it comes to Pidyon HaBen, the Torah says you have to give 5 shkalim. You have to give it to the Kohen. So I gave it to him, but if I told him it's the Hachzir, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, that's no good. The Sofa Rava said 3 different areas of halacha. Lagabe Mechiras Karaka, Lagabe Kiddushi Isha, and Lagabe Pidyon HaBen. All three, we just struck out. That Matanah with the Hachzir doesn't seem to do the trick. But then in contrast to this, Rava says, Betruma Yotzadei Nesina. But if I want to be yaitz in the mitzvah of a nasa the kohen, I want to be yaitz in the mitzvah of the sinas truma to the kohen, I can give it to a kohen. I'm an asla hachsa. That's okay. Rava just qualifies that. Say, but also last came in a shenir kohen. I'm saying basically, you're not supposed to do it. It's also to do it that way for a pure technical reason. There's an issue called kohen. I'm saying basically, grunts. What does that mean? Let's say I come to a kohen and I say, listen, I got loads and loads of truma. I'm a very very rich farmer. I got a lot of truma to distribute. And the Torah says that the Bailim have what's called Tevis or no. The Bailim have the right to choose. They have the ability to choose which coin they want to give it to. So comes the farmer to Mr. Cohen. He says, listen, Mr. Cohen, I got thousands of dollars worth of truma. I give it to you. I give it to Yadav. I give him Shemen. I can divide, do whatever I want with it. I have the Tevis or no. I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you the coin. I'll give you the truma. You know, wink, wink. I'll give you the truma. If you come and sweep up my barn for me, you come and clean up, you work for me. I'm not going to pay you to work, but it's going to be well worth your while. You're going to get the thousands of dollars of truma that I have a right to give whatever I want to anyway. Just do me a favor and do a little side job for me. You must say, I have a vase of grunts. The Gemara says, that's awesome. You're not allowed to do that. Why not allowed to do that? So it's not 100% clear why. The Gemara says in a few places, that's also. It's not 100% why.
It's a Rebbe. It's almost like ribbis.
Yeah, so it's not so true because it's not that I owe the Kohen anything, but it's really the Kohen's. So Rashi on the spot says that it gives the impression that I'm giving them Trumas and Maaseres as salary, and that's not really what's supposed to happen. The mitzvah Trumas and Maaseres is supposed to be a Matana, it's supposed to be an Asina Kohen. So it almost like detracts from the Kedusha, takes away from the, it's supposed to be a Bachoshev, a Chumetik, a Matana to the Kohen. On behalf of his doing a very sabikdosh, and I'm gonna give him the truma instead of paying him $10 to sweep the floor of the barn. So that's some say that reason. Others give other reasons. Whatever it is, the bottom line is that the kohen and the Yisrael are not supposed to enter into some kind of an agreement that's gonna tip the balance in the favor of that kohen. The Yisrael is gonna give him the truma. If the Yisrael chooses on his own, give everything to one thing, do whatever he wants. Once give him Mr. Katz, Mr. Cohen, it's his prerogative. But there shouldn't be some kind of, under the table agreement which would give off the impression that the truma is not really a matana.
The Gemara brings things that has nothing to do with matana. If I'm selling you something and you're going to give me the money, but you're going to give me the merchandise, somebody has to be stupid here to do it.
So when I say giving the money, I don't mean I'm going to give you the entire value. It's going to be pretty hard to get somebody to sell your land when a matanas lahachzir in that way. In order for mechiras karka to take place, there has to be a giving of one pruta. It's got to be just, I got to give one pruta, and then afterwards I'm going to owe you the money as a chov, write up a mortgage, write it down, and we'll tell you the $100,000 later. But they have to have a formal giving of a kesef, of a pruta of kesef, not that different from the formal giving of the kesef of kesef kedushin. So about that original penny, that original pruta of Kinyan Kesef, that's what Rav is saying. You have to give it as a matana. You have to give it to him to keep. You can't play games. I'm giving it to you, I'm an ass to return it to me. That a matana is the ass. It's lo shema matana, Rav says.
And the Rambam Gamliel didn't say it's a matana.
Wait. That's what we're getting to. That's exactly what we're getting to. How the Gemara Tzuchah fits the market. So at this stage, the Gemara says that when it comes to Mechiras and Kiddushin, you can't do this. When it comes to Truma, you really can do it, but you shouldn't do it. Why? Because it gives us the impression, like a kind of a Seir Vesel Kohen, why does that do with Kohen sweeping the floors? If I can find one Kohen who's gonna take all the Truma and ask the Hachzir, he's gonna give it all back to me, he's gonna be my Kohen for life. He's my guy. So he's degrading himself, he's lowering himself. He says, I'm not supposed to set up a situation where it's gonna be financially lucrative for me to give it to this Kohen. So comes Robin says you shouldn't do it. But if you did it, yeah, but it's chal. It's a good to see this truma. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Micah Sava Rabba. Mark did his Micah Sava. What is Rabba's opinion? Micah Sava Matar Masahachsa Shma Matana. If Rabba's opinion is that a Matar Masahachsa is a Matana, feel Kulunami, that it should work for Karaka, it should work for Kiddush, it should work for Bidjaben. Because of a low Shma Matana, if it's not a Matana, I feel Truma Nami likes it. It shouldn't work from Truma, not just the Chachil, it shouldn't work at all. So the Gemara cannot understand. Rabba's four did him three of them in one direction, one in the other. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. The ode, and now the Gemara invokes the Sugya and Sugya. HaRavu Diyomar Matana Sachsa Shema Matana. Rava was the one, the Amir, who said it clear as day, that a gift, Amanas Sachsa, is a good gift. The Amar Rava, Heilich Esrug, Zeh Amanas Sachsa Reuli. If I give you an Esrug and say, I'm giving you the Esrug on the condition you return it to me, not Leversi, right? If you took the Esrug, shook the Esrug, and then returned it, you fulfilled it in Ayotza, and you Yotza, if you didn't return it, for sure you're not Yaitse. If you didn't return it, you didn't fulfill the tonight. So mainly you want Yaitse the mitzvah, because it wasn't yours. So bottom line is we have Rava in the corner, Rava in the checkmate. Rava's four statements are internally not consistent, because three out of the four he's pointing in the direction of Lav Shlom Matana. Only one indicates it is Matana. And Rava, we know for a fact that from Sukkadav Mema Aleph, from the Masa, from the Zayin, we know from other sugyas and Shas, the Rava's opinion is that it is Shema Matana. So what did Rava say? So the Gemara says we had the wrong reading of Rava, the whole wrong version of Rava. What did Rava really say? So Rav Ashi was already the later Amarami after Rava. Elam Rav Ashi, this is what it's supposed to say. The Kulu Kani, we do a Mamsha flip, an entire 180 degree flip. Itaka works. It works for Mechiras, it works for Pinyaban, it works for Truma. The only time that it doesn't work, this is the authentic version of Rava. The only time that it doesn't work is Levav Isha, Kedushin, it doesn't work. You know why? Because you cannot acquire a woman for Kedushin with Chalipin. What's been Chalipin? Chalipin is, I want to buy land for you. Instead of paying you for the land, instead of doing Mishtar, instead of doing Chazaka, I give you a handkerchief, I take off a hat, give you a watch, give you a kli, a pen, whatever it is. I say symbolically, I'm giving you the handkerchief, and in lieu of the handkerchief, you're giving me the entire field. That's chalipin. What's also chalipin? Psukim and Megillah Shura. Shalav Ishnal of an Aslan Rei is also to be Israel. The fun of Israel, the Gulag Atu, the Kaim Kodogo, Shalav Ishnal of an Aslan Rei. So it happens to be the Gemara back in Kedushin of Gimel says that Chalipin is not a good method for Kedushin. Imagine if I say to a woman under the chuppah, listen, I'm standing under the chuppah, I don't have a ring to give you. I say, listen, I pull out take my yarmulke off, like Bechir's Chametz. And I say, okay, I'm the Kona, I'm giving you this yarmulke, and lose the yarmulke, you become my wife. I'm not giving you the yarmulke to keep, I'm holding on to the yarmulke. So that's the kid in Chalipin. So comes Rava and says that kid in Chalipin doesn't work for Kedushin. And Memele Matar Masachsa also doesn't work for Kedushin. So for our purposes, why that's so, we need a little bit of fine-tuning in that. But for our purposes, what the Gemara did was a 180-degree turnaround in what Rav Ashita was about Matar Masachsa. The Gemara thought that it was never good, and then the Gemara said, maybe it is good. And now the Gemara says, no, it really is good. It's not always good, except for Kedushin. Only Avuna Mar Berei, the Rav Nechem, the Rav Ashi, Hachi Amin Mishpeh, the Rav Kabaseich, that they told Rav Ashi that is in fact what Rava really said. I mean, the first version of Rava was incorrect. So when all the dust settles, how do we paskin? Like the Gemara says in Sukkah, like the Gemara says in Kedushin, it works for Esrog, works for Mechiras, works for Pinyaban, works for Truma, except for the Kohen Maseiach problem, works for Kol HaTeira Kula HaKol Mikol Kol, we paskin, and Matar Zachsa Kein Shema Matar. The only exception is Kedushin. And why doesn't it work for Kedushin? So the Gemara says something to do with Chalipin. Chalipin doesn't work, and therefore this doesn't work either. But say, it's not the same thing. Chalipin is not even a matona. Chalipin means I'm using a symbolic gesture of handing you my handkerchief. You're picking up the handkerchief. Of course you're going to give the handkerchief back because I never gave it to you in the first place. Of course it's coming back to me. So again, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, the Gemara says that the Kedushin do not work with Matanos L'Hachzir because they Nisha Nikas B'chalipin. So Henry already is Mechavin to Tosus. So Tosus says, take a look at the bottom Tosus, Levarni Isha, Venir Luri. The lab chalipinu says Tosus. Come on, who you kidding? It's not chalipin. Umidirabana nudulah the kedushim. Lefisha derech ha'olam lahachse chalipin. Lahani ke'ein chalipin dami ve'oslemei merisha nikas bechalipin. Boom. Comes Tosus and says, the Gemara never really meant to say that. Never really meant to say that Matanos L'Hachzir is identical to Chalipin. What the Gemara meant to say was, we know Chalipin is not going to work. And if we sanction a kid in Matanos L'Hachzir Kedushin, if we let you follow what the Din D'Oraisa is, that a Shema Matana, like the Esrik, Bechira, Pitabed, and Truma, if it's really, really true Matana, should work for Kedushin and Torah also. But if we let you get away with that, what's going to happen? Today you'll be Mekadesh for the Matanos L'Hachzir. Tomorrow your friend will be Mekadesh for Chalipin. Because in the eyes of the Balabatim, it looks too close. Not everybody sat in the Rangatun and learned the Sugis of Matanos L'Hachzir and Chalipin and realized they're very different from one another. But Firais, B'nai Adam, they look pretty similar. Here I give you something to take it back. Here I give you something to take it back. So therefore, it's a Gezeirah b'Dirabban and Shema Yomru, Yesh Kedush b'Chalipin. So of course, there's always a huge problem. What's the huge problem? B'Yes Boi Shabeinu, B'Kadesh Anisha Matanos L'Hachzir, what's the answer? Yesh, Nukudashas. So now with the Rabbonon, we're throwing out a Kedushin. That's a big problem. How do we have a right to do that? They said, nah, come on. Hukachafkin Rabbonon Kedushin, says Tosfos. Gemara tells us many, many times that even though Chazal do not have the ability to change Isur in the Torah, Chazal cannot tie the drive in Shabbos. Chazal cannot tie the Itreif. They don't have the authority to be Eikedam in the Torah, Bekumba say, actively. They could not have to go shofar on Shabbos, they not to shave a lulav on Shabbos, that's shev al tas, that's passive. But they do not have the authority to tell you to violate things actively. But in the realm of Kedushin and Gittin, they do. They can tell you that, yeah, this Kedushin is meaningless. Even though Minat Torah, it's very meaningful. How can I do that? Minat Torah, the woman needs to get. Minat Torah is lo sinuf. How does Chazal have a right to be ma'ateh lo sinuf? So the answer is they're not ma'ateh lo sinuf. They simply mafkiah the original Kedushin. How do they do that? So that's a loaded question. Sugas and Yivamas and Subas and Gittin about is it based on Hefkebez and Hefkebez and other principles, Das, Tanai, whole complicated Sugi, but the fact that the Sugi exists, it exists. So Tosus invokes that Sugi of Afkinu and says that's what's playing out in Kedushin of Avon Bez also, that Minat Torah, Matanos L'Hachzir is radically different from Chalipin. And Minat Torah, it's not good for Kedushin, notwithstanding the fact that Chalipin is no good Minat Torah. And the only reason why Lamais and Shulchan Aruch, you can't use Matanos L'Hachzir. So Gzeir Midir Rabbanon ought to Chalipin. You know, whenever you see a Tosus like this, Tosus sticks in a Gzeir ought to this. It doesn't say this in the Gemara. You know, there's going to be another Pshat Rishon. You know, there's going to be a Pshat Rishon who takes this Gemara a little bit more literally. So we really have a work cut out for us, Rabbi Sai. Number one, in terms of just understanding, bottom line, the Maskaras HaGemara in Maseches Kedushin, because that's really the main thrust of the main source in Shas from Matanos L'Hachzir. It's impacting us, Sugi and Sugi Ben Esri. So really just to hopefully fine-tune why Lamaisa doesn't work for Kedushin, unless you want to go down Tosus's route, maybe there's another route. And then we have to get back really to the main thrust of what is this Matanos L'Hachzir? It's a strange thing, it's a bizarre concept. I give it to you, and I take it back, give it to you, take it back, and Kozban, that it's by you, it's yours, that it becomes mine. How exactly do we understand what's really playing out in terms of Mataras Nachas. So we have a lot of work to do, both in terms of understanding Gemara Kedushin and ultimately coming back to the Gemara Sukkah. For which next week, we'll try to continue with this. Okay. Everybody,
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Tomorrow.